This teaching comes to you from the team at Anchor Church Sydney. We hope you're blessed by it. For more teachings, resources or info, check out our website, www.anchorchurch.com.au.
For as long as I remember, I've always talked to God, but we went to church occasionally. I never really connected with anything. I had trouble connecting with the church that I grew up in. And as I grew up and we moved to Australia and became an adult, I kind of, rather than go towards God because he was clearly calling me, he was always wanting to have a conversation with me. I recognize that now. I turned my back and chased other things in life and lived a very selfish, kind of materialistic life most of my adulthood. And then I guess I'll skip over everything, and then my journey to faith really started, I think, when Kyle and I got married and we fell pregnant with our little boy, Ayrton. That was in 2012. We'd already had a miscarriage, and so finding out that, we'd got past that three-month mark with Ayrton, we felt really grateful and blessed, I prayed a lot about it, and we were just so happy, and we had a relatively, normal pregnancy. Married people excited and apprehensive about everything, but never in my wildest dreams could I have expected what would happen when I was nearly 37 weeks pregnant. So for those of you who don't know weeks in pregnancy, you're at the end pretty much. 37 weeks is considered full term. I started going into labour and we got really excited and went into the hospital. And when we got there, I had a scan and was told that my baby's heart wasn't beating anymore and he died in my belly. So at that point, my world just came crashing down, and I guess a lot of people say that when you go through a tragic event like that, your faith is tested. In my case, I actually think my faith was strengthened because I never knew what it was like to really lean in on God until that point. And while I didn't understand what had happened and why, and still don't today, I just completely just submitted myself to God and prayed and asked for him to carry me through that for the sake of, my husband and the rest of my family who were with us. And he did that. I mean, the only way I explain it to people say to me all the time, "You're so strong." I had no strength in me. God literally carried me through that, got me up in the morning and got me going again and got me to persevere. Shortly after I lost Ayrton, I received a little card, a postcard in the mail from a lady by the name of Amy Witanowski. She'd dropped off a card in everyone's letterbox in our building to connect parents. And, I was so upset at receiving that because I thought, I should be able to be joining this group and with my baby, but I don't have a baby. I think God at that point said to me, "Hold on to it, you'll get your turn." So I did. I put it away somewhere. And fast forward to about 18 months or so later, we had been blessed with Avery. And she's a true blessing. And she was about 7 months old when I found that card again out of nowhere. I lose everything, so this is quite a miracle that I held onto this card. Picked up the card and went, maybe they're still meeting in the building. So I contacted Amy, and she texted me back straight away and said, "Sure, yeah, we a couple of us still meet." And so I did, and I formed a friendship with a couple of the parents, and it was a wonderful time. And as it happens, Amy was the wife of a pastor, Adam Witanowski, who some of you might know, who started White Horse Church, a small church, which is no longer. And something about Amy, she had never at any point deliberately spoke to me about Jesus. She'd never invited me to church explicitly, and I talked to her about it today, and she's like, oh, maybe I should have, you know, maybe I should have. But she didn't need to. There was something about her, you know, I came to her, God was calling me again, and I asked her so many questions, and the way she spoke about her love for Jesus, I just was so, I just remember thinking, I want that. I want to know that. I want to know Jesus. I want to have this love. Like, how do I get that? You know, so I started praying about it again. And, you know, Amy had invited me to church at that point when I started expressing interest. But I said to myself, I can't do this if my family don't do it with me. You know, we'd had Elena at that point as well. And I thought, I want to do this. I want to know Jesus. I want to go to church, but I can't do this without my family. So I prayed. I prayed every night, asking God. You know, I always use the words, "Please, God, lead us in the right direction towards you, in your direction." And I prayed and I prayed. And we were going through some really tough times, which I'm sure Kyle will touch on at the time. And then one night, I felt utterly, you know, helpless, hopeless, and I was praying again, and I had a actual physical experience. As I was praying, I just felt this warmth come over me, which I now recognize as the Holy Spirit, and just this calm over me, and I stopped sobbing, and, you know, I just felt that yes, okay, God heard me. He was listening to me. He was comforting me. And shortly after that, about a week or so later, God very, very explicitly, directly answered my prayers. I'll let Kyle talk you through that.
Thanks, Daniel. So my story, I guess, starts with a little bit of sort of family history. Every male in my family is an alcoholic, all my uncles, my dad, both grandparents. So it's been in my family for a long time. I also am an alcoholic, and I think to kick the story off from when we lost our son Ayrton, I sort of deferred all of my pain during that period, you know, trying to be the tough guy and be supportive. So I did that, and during that period, you know, I was able to, like I said, defer a lot of the pain that I was feeling, but that then came out through drinking for me. And so for a long time, you know, years, I was drinking heavily, and it kind of got to a point when I was in a good job, you know, working for a company at the time that was in the media a lot. You know, there was a lot of risk and potential exposure, and it got so bad that I would get into the office really early in the morning, like 7 o'clock, so that I could drink before people got into the office. And, you know, it was like pouring wine into a coffee mug and sitting in my office to drink it. It was that type of bad. And, you know, life, it was a physical thing for me. I would make a decision, that's it. You know, I'm not going to drink ever again. You know, and I'd look my wife in the eyes and say, I promise I'm not doing it ever again. And my office was in Circular Quay at the time, and I would leave Pyrmont to get there. And by the time I got there, it was like straight to the bar to pour the drink. It was like that inability to make a decision with any type of rational thought. You know, it was just completely taking me over. At the same period that sort of Amy and Daniel's relationship was, you know, in full force, and they were spending a lot of time together, there was this thing, a man camp for all the guys at the church. We'd never been to church, I had never been to church in my life. I went to a Catholic school. I had a football scholarship, so I actually had an exemption from going to mass or study. So, you know, really clever guys. While that was happening, I was playing football. So it was kind of wasted. People sort of laugh and go, how did you not have God in your life? You went to a Catholic school, but that's how. I wasn't an atheist because I didn't I think someone said it a few weeks ago, actually here, that you know a lot of Australians are like, it's not that they don't believe, they just don't care. Mm. You know, it's just like, well whatever. Mm. And that's how I was. I had no anger. I had no anything. It was just I didn't know. I didn't understand. So, again, just setting the scene that I had no sort of God or church in my life at all. My parents don't believe, and that's sort of where I got to. And during this period, so I went to this, I signed up to this man camp, but only because life was really tough at the time. You know, I was drinking heavily. Believe it or not, being drunk every single day puts pressure on a marriage. And, you know, a lot of the pain that we were dealing with as well was there. Avery was an enjoyable young child. She didn't sleep or eat or anything. So she was, making life difficult. So everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And at the time this sort of man camp came up, I thought, oh, this is good. This is a weekend away from chaos. So I got in the car and I started driving up to the mountains with every intention of buying alcohol, putting it in my bag and taking it with me. The guys at the church actually had made it an alcohol-free weekend away because I was going, which, again, in hindsight, that's a pretty big deal because these guys who can drink responsibly had given that opportunity up to be away, you know, for a weekend with the guys. And, you know, again, in hindsight, that's a big deal that I just completely went over my head. So, you know, driving up to the mountains, went into a bottle shop and with every intention of buying whatever was there. And I just remember asking, I said to the guy, oh, can I just get a bottle of Coke? Got it, turned around and walked out. And as I got to the exit or entrance, whichever way you're walking, I guess, of the bottle shop, I was like, what just happened? I didn't, it's not alcoholic. So anyway, I got in the car, kept going, which was strange. And I got to the front door of this man camp, which was a really nice house in the mountains. And I was like, what am I doing here? This is the most crazy thing I've ever done. I have no idea who these people are. I'd never met any of them either, by the way. So I didn't even know who I was looking for. So I got to the door, went to knock on it. I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm out. So I turned around, walk away, and the door opened. And some guy goes, oh, hey, Carl. And I was like, oh, God, these Christians are freaks. What's going on? There's no name tag. So this guy came to the door and pulled me in before I could even say no. And, 5 minutes later, I was sculling a Tabasco sauce for some reason. And, it was a really good night other than the Tabasco sauce poisoning. So we'd had a good night. I'd met a few people. We'd been talking. And we went to sleep at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up literally with someone talking in my ear. And it was God saying to me, and I remember it so clearly. Like, you kind of dream that the day that God talks to you, it's something profound and amazing. And it was just like, hey, get up and go outside. And I was like, oh, okay. Well. But it was there. Like, he was talking to me. It was freezing cold in the middle of winter in the Blue Mountains. There was no reason for me to go outside. But I did it. I got up and I walked outside. And there was this guy out there who just got out of rehab. He'd been there for 9 months, and we just started talking until sunrise. It was very romantic. But it was the first step into what was about to happen for me, because that conversation was really eye-opening to me about the impact that his actions were having on other people's lives. And for the first time, it was me looking at me, and I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen the damage that was being caused. That was a big moment. And at that point, I absolutely believed that there was a God and that he was looking out for me. I'll fast track because Daniel's sitting here going, you're dwelling on the wrong bits. For 40 days, I didn't drink. I came home from man camp, a new man. The camp had worked. And I hadn't drunk. And I went back to my office and everyone knew what I was doing. And they were like, oh, here he is. Here he comes. How'd you go? And I said, oh, yeah, no, I believe in Jesus now. I'm going to get baptized next week. And I did. I got baptized the week after. And they all thought it was a joke. But I didn't drink for 40 days. And at that time, it was massive because I was drinking bottles of wine a day. And so during that period, life was really good for us. Obviously, not drinking changed a lot. The relationship was really strong. And the guy that I'd met in man camp, had started drinking again, and he was doing drugs as well, and he was in a really bad place. And I took that really hard, and I felt like that was the door opening again for me as well, and it is what ended up happening. And I started drinking again really, really bad, like worse than before. Except this time I thought that I'd sort of been cured. I thought that God was in my life and I thought everything was okay. So I was really, really lost then because I thought, well, now what? You know, I've tried myself. You know, I've been baptized. I thought this was good now. Because I wasn't ready for what was happening in my life at that point. And I just remember, you know, saying to people, how good am I going? Like, I haven't drunk for 40 days. I'm amazing. I'm this, I'm that. And then I look back on that period and go, because you were, you know, it was you. You thought you were the one in control and what was happening. And, you know, I look back on that period and I know that it was God just reminding me of who the boss was. So anyway, look, again, fast track. Life got really bad, you know, to the point where I think, complete transparency, I was so close to losing Danielle and the kids. I had nowhere else to go. I was on my last chance of 800 and without any real hope or I had nothing. I didn't know what to do. I'd been going to AA. I'd even been taking medication to stop the cravings, which it never did because you've got to take them. And I got to absolute breaking point and at the moment where life changed for real, I was sitting in the bathroom in my office. Life was good from a work perspective. You know, my company was doing well. It was growing really quickly. Everything was good from that perspective, but the drinking was out of control. And I just remember saying to God, I'm not going to ask you for anything anymore because every time I think I know what needs to happen or what I need to do, it's wrong. It goes the wrong way. It backfires. And I just said, I just need you to give me the courage and strength to face what's about to happen. Because I'd given up and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I just said, just let me deal with what's about to happen like a man. So that was 270 days ago and I haven't drunk since that day. And it's for something that was so strong and physical to disappear in a moment. There has not been a single craving. I've been at best friends' weddings and family functions and everything that was a risk before is not there anymore. And my life has changed completely through that. And I'm so grateful for just putting my faith in Jesus and knowing now that it doesn't matter what I think, what someone else thinks, what's in front of me, that it's going to be okay, whatever that looks like. And, you know, everyone's different with their prayer, but my prayers are still very simple that I just ask for the strength to deal with what's about to happen. And for me, that's just me putting my faith in God to know that it's okay and it's under control and to stop controlling things. And that love that was shown to me just changed so many people's lives around me. And my own, and yeah, did I get distracted?
That's okay, amazing. Good. It's so good, and we want to celebrate God's work in your life. And I mean, Kyle, thank you for daily saying no to sin and yes to righteousness, and Danielle for hanging in there for all of those months, and for the second opportunities and chances. We just rejoice that you guys are still together, that your kids are loved, and. That God has worked so powerfully. It's such an incredible story. Thank you for sharing. It's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. What does Christ's death and resurrection mean for you now?
Like a lot of people, Easter was the double long weekend for so long in my life, genuinely. And last year, so I was September 23, last year was when I was baptized. And so last Easter, I didn't really put much thought into the day and the significance now that I was Christian, but I just remember waking up Good Friday last year. Yeah, we're just date checking. Yeah. Really, really sad.
Yeah.
I woke up heartbroken, and that then turned to anger. And I just remember texting our pastor at the time at 6 a.m. thankfully he had kids, so he was on kids' duty as well. And I said, man, I'm so angry and sad. I'm sangry. What's going on here? And he said, you get it now. Like, you get what happened. So the significance of what was done for us, for all of us, was there for me to see for the first time last year. And I'm dealing, and like we talked about a few weeks ago, I'm dealing with a lot of anger in my life because, you know, now that I don't drink and things that I see in life, I then start getting all high and mighty and judgy, and, you know, I'm working through that. But I get angry a lot that the sacrifice was made for all of us, and you just see the way people sort of squander their lives away. And I think that's hard to take because, you know, Jesus is in my heart, in all of our hearts. So to see people sort of disrespect that is hard to take sometimes. Mm. So I find Easter a really hard period, to be honest, because there is the love that was shown, and, you know, to think about the pain that someone went through for me, it's pretty hard sometimes. Mm. But yeah, what an amazing, you know, time. What an amazing gift we've all been given. Mm. And I think that's the real thing that I personally need to remember as well about, you know, Easter is what was given.
Yeah.
For all of the crap that I've done and will do still. Mm. But that there's unconditional love. Like that's something that will never change. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let's give Kyle and Danielle a round of applause. I'm going to pray for them, and we're going to hand back to Hope in a sec. So let me pray. Father God, I thank you for your work in Kyle and Danielle's lives. I thank you that you have stepped into the mess and brokenness that they experienced. I thank you that you've redeemed it by your grace, by your love, your mercy, that you have forgiven their sins, that you have washed them clean, that you have redeemed them, you've purchased them and made them yours. And life's still difficult. There's still grief, there's still anger, there's pain, but I thank you that you promise that you're there with them in the midst of that. And God, we pray that you continue to pour your grace and mercy on their family, to continue to help Kyle to say no to alcohol, to say yes to walking obediently with Jesus. We rejoice in the 270 plus days. We pray that you'd continue, God, to make this family strong, a family that shines the light of the good news of Jesus. We want to celebrate your work this Easter in them and rejoice in it in the powerful and strong name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.